Well, Good Friday is the beginning of good favor from the Lord. That's the thrust of this message this morning. And while at the camp, I'll continue on the theme that we need to grow in favor of the Lord, grow in wisdom like Jesus did, and grow in with favor with God, favor with men, and to aim towards spiritual growth. See what you're missing if you're not coming to the camp? All right, for a text, let's look at Mark 10:34. These are the words of Jesus before Good Friday, before his suffering, before his crucifixion and resurrection. And this is what he told the disciples. He says they will mock him, Mark 10:34. They will spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. And further down to verse 45, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Tremendous words of Jesus. He did not come looking for position. He did not come that people may, you know, bow down to serve him. He says, "I came to serve others. At the end thereof, to give my life as a ransom for many." Since today is a Good Friday celebration, I think some of us are quite familiar with TGIF. What's TGIF? Thank God, it's Friday. Reminds you of the American restaurant franchise, right? The restaurant. Well, for hardworking people, you know, they say TGIF, thank God it's Friday. Why? They've been working hard like crazy. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Thank God it's Friday. Why? They are looking forward for the weekend, Saturday and Sunday. That's what I hear my daughter say. You know, she works very hard, you know, sometimes 10 hours, 12 hours. And then when it's Friday, say, "Yay, it's Friday. It's the weekend. Hallelujah." For those of us that are in the ministry or are pastors, thank God it's Monday. Because Saturday, Sunday is our most stressful time. Come Saturday, no, what shall I say? What shall I say? If you haven't gotten your sermon yet, oh God, have mercy on me. Then come Sunday, the pressure of preaching. And then come Monday, thank God it's Monday. Hallelujah. But for us believers gathered here today, thank God it's Good Friday. Amen? Hallelujah. For us believers, it's Good Friday because Jesus, you know, paid it all. For us, it's Good Friday. For him, it's a terrible, horrible Friday. Don't you think so? It is. For him, it's so, so terrible. He saw it coming. He spoke of it. He told his disciples, "They will mock me. They will spit on me. They will flog me. They will kill me. But on the third day, I will rise." He saw it coming, but he didn't run away from it. Now, if God showed that to me, I probably would run and hide. Won't you? He says, "They will mock him. They will spit on me." Can you imagine someone spitting on you? You can't, right? I mean, if you used to sitting in the front row, sometimes the preacher has the anointing to spray on people, you know. Sometimes you catch the spit and say, "Oh my goodness, please, can you please speak properly?" So it's pretty good that your pulpit is a couple of feet away. But even then, some pastors have, you know, the gifting of the projectile of the saliva. But even if people accidentally have the spit on you, you feel yucky. Imagine they did it purposely to Jesus. That's the most humiliating thing a person has to endure. They will flog him. I'm sure you have heard of the explanation of flogging, the cat o' nine tails, long strip of leather, at the end thereof maybe 7, 8, 9 leather stripes hooked with bones or nails, so that when they whip the person, flesh will come out. Flesh will come out. Jesus endured that 39 times. They flogged him. Just they eventually will kill me. The worst kind of capital punishment. I mean, if it's electric chair, at least zoom, you're gone. This is a slow, lingering death. He hung there for a couple of hours. I think most of us would have seen Mel Gibson's The Passion years ago. My family and I, we went to see in Melbourne. I sat there, I watched. Our whole family, we cry. And we cry. And we cry. It's just a Hollywood pictorial presentation of the horrors of the crucifixion. But yet it's so, so moving. But Jesus went through it in reality for you, for me. That's why it's Good Friday. Amen? Hallelujah. That's why it's Good Friday. So that those of us that are burdened by the guilt of sin and condemnation can look forward for forgiveness. Can look forward for the rest of our souls, that we are no more under condemnation. Free from condemnation, receiving eternal life in Christ Jesus, receiving the peace of God, peace with God. Hallelujah. That's the great favor of the Good Friday. For us believers, thank God it's Good Friday, because Paul says, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin, he was made to be sin for you, for me, so that we might become the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. There's nothing you and I can do to come clean before God. All that Jesus did, tremendous sacrifice, clothe you and I with his righteousness so that we can come before him, you know, without condemnation. That's why you and I, believers, can walk in the favor and the blessings of God. We should be so, so grateful for Good Friday, isn't it? Hallelujah. We should give thanks to the Lord for what he has done so that we can begin to enjoy the favor of God upon our lives. Amen. Paul told us, Galatians 3:13, and now he was cursed on the cross. He redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. So what? So that the blessings of Abraham might come upon us Gentiles. Hallelujah. So that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit of God. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus became a curse for you, for me, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon you, come upon me. That's walking in the favor of God. So this Good Friday, though the crucifixion serves as a set remembrance of the death of Jesus, I want you to, you know, rejoice in the blessings that the Lord has gotten for you, for me. That you and I, because we are believers in Christ Jesus, we walk under the favor of God. Psalms 84 verse 11 says, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing will he withhold from them whose walk is blameless. That's the blessing and the favor of God. He says the Lord is a sun and a shield. He will bestow favor upon your life. He will bestow honor upon your life. And he says no good thing will he withhold from you. Especially when you and I aspire to walk a blameless life before him. Luke 2:52 tells us Jesus, as he was growing up, he grew in wisdom. He grew in stature. He grew in favor with God. Favor with man. Hallelujah. That's what we as Christians would desire and aspire to live our lives. That we grow in wisdom, grow in favor with God, grow in favor with man. Hallelujah. He says the Lord is a sun and shield. What does the Lord, what does the sun represent? The sun gives life. No sun, no life. no life, no fruit, no fruit, no import, no export, no import, no export. You can go to your Westpac ATM, Commonwealth Bank, you can press all the buttons you want. You won't have any money. Isn't that true? If there's no sun, no life, no life, no business, no business, no money, no matter how brilliant you may be, no matter how good you may be in business, there will be zero. But thank God, He's our sun. He's our shield. Shield speaks of the fact that He protects us from harm and danger. So, praise the Lord. We all realize that as a result of Good Friday, you and I can walk in this favor and this blessings of God. This is not to say that becoming a Christian, there will be no problems. Don't believe anyone that says, oh, become a Christian, praise the Lord, everything will be blessing, hallelujah, hallelujah. Who don't like that? Everybody like that. But there's no such thing. Life in itself, there will be problems. In this world, you will have trouble. That's what Jesus said. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. May you and I walk in the favor of the Lord because of Good Friday. Amen. What then is the meaning of favor? We heard it many times, but what does it really mean? The definition of favor is this: a gracious, friendly, or obliging act that is freely granted unto you. That's the meaning of favor. On a human level, there are times we need the favor of a friend. Have you been in a tight spot? You need the favor of a friend? I've been there many times. When I was moving to Melbourne from Singapore, I need to tidy up quite a lot of stuff, and time was very tight. So I asked my friend, I left about 20 boxes. I need someone to help me. Do you think you can help me? He says, don't worry, brother. I'll come and help you. I'll be there. Not only he came with a trolley, he came with a van, he came with another friend, and not only he helped me box up everything, he helped me store it up. I said, wow, I only asked for one favor. He gave me 3-4 favors. Hallelujah. That's human level. We need favor from friends. How much more? You know, we need the favor of the Lord. Another definition of the word favor means you gain approval, you gain acceptance, you gain special benefits or blessings. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. The Lord bestows on you and I favor because of what He did on Good Friday and when He rose again on Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah. When Jesus started His ministry, the Father gave Him the approval of blessings and favor. Matthew 3:17. Before even preaching the first sermon, before even laying His hands to touch on any sick person, before He even did any good deed, the Father says, behold, this is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Isn't that wonderful? Brother, sister, if you are struggling in your Christian life, you know, thinking that you got to do a lot of good works before God can accept you, you are under a delusion. You have been misguided. There's nothing good that you and I can do to gain His favor. This is the favor of God. You don't have to do anything. He has done it all. He says, it is finished. Hallelujah. It is finished means He has done the job. It is finished. Amen. Thank God Jesus did not say, I am finished. If Jesus said, I am finished, you are finished. Thank God He said, it is finished. Hallelujah. There's nothing more that you can do. I can do. Hallelujah. He accepts you just as you are. No matter what sin you have committed. That's the favor of God. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Divine approval and acceptance. That's the meaning of favor. Paul tells us in Ephesians 1:6, you are accepted in the beloved. Hallelujah. 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 Now another meaning of favor, it means special benefits or blessings. Special benefits of blessings. Isn't that wonderful? You know, I've served the Lord coming close to 40 years. In these years, I've traveled thousands of miles. And in the earlier years before budget airlines, and I always fly economy. And to my pleasant surprise, I get to the counter. I hear the counter telling me, "Hey, Mr. Lau, we'd like to upgrade you to business class." I say, "Ooh, wow, thank you." I tell you, economy class is like cattle class, you know, like all the sheep and the cattle's, you know, going in a row. Man, they put me on business class without me asking. You don't eat from plastic plates. It's porcelain. I just got up on the walkway. They know me by my name. Ooh, welcome, Mr. Lau. I said, "Oh, thank you." Thank you. It did not just happen one time. It happened 5, 6, 7 times. What do you call that? I call that favor of God. You pay economy, they give you business class. But of course, now with budget airlines, I no more get this. You know, it would be nice if because everything is money. You know, they won't charge you by the kilo, whatever baggage you have. So that's favor. Hallelujah. I remember when we moved to Melbourne years ago, 12 years ago. My two girls were studying in Melbourne Uni. You know, I'm traveling in the mission field. My wife and we are not around most of the time. What are parents concerned when they're away? Children, that they be safe. So we want our two daughters to be near Melbourne Uni and stay near Victoria Market, stay near the supermarket, you know, so that they don't have all the hassle of, you know, buying food, go to uni. But you know, rental in the city is expensive, not cheap. But say, "Well, we'll pray. We'll trust the Lord." So we looked at real estate advertisement and so forth. Then we saw one advertisement on Bowery Street near Victoria Market. 5 minutes from Victoria Market, 5 minutes to Melbourne Uni. Ooh, wonderful. Let's take a look. So my wife and I, our children, we went to see the uni. And lo and behold, 10 o'clock, I think 10 o'clock is the appointment. 9:30, the line was about maybe 70 to 100 people looking for that one unit. When we reached there, my wife shook her head. I also want to shake my head. I said, "No, don't, before I shake my head, let's believe the Lord." Hallelujah. Cut the long story short. We filled up the form and we gave it in. And then a couple of days later, the real estate guy called me. "Hey, Mr. Lau, are you Mr. Lau?" I said, "Yeah, I am." He says, "You know the long line, right?" I said, "Yeah." "You know the pile of applications we received for that one unit?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Somehow the landlord like you." I said, "Oh, is that right?" He chose you. But there are a couple of prospective, you know, people who want the place too, and they are willing to up the rent. Can you match them? Can you challenge them by upping? How much would you like to up? I say, "Up? I think no up." I'll call you back later. I'll think about it. I'll talk to my wife. My wife said, "Just up. Just give it. Just whatever they want, give. Let's get the place." I said, no. "Let's pray that God will bless us. We can challenge all these rich people, especially from China. You know, they are all loaded with money. We cannot challenge them. You know." So we prayed. Guess what? The agent called back. He said, "Somehow or other, the landlord like you, despite the, you know, he's getting better offers. He don't want the better offers. He want just your application. Move in." So thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What do you call that? I call that the favor of God. Hallelujah. Now, I was pastoring in Malaysia, you know, for many years in a full gospel assembly. At that time, we were running one of the largest churches. At that time, we were 3,000 people. For me to leave from a nice church to go in the mission field is a big step forward. In a big church, you know, you have good offerings. When they have good offerings, they can afford to pay the pastor. But when I go into mission field, no pay. Go and raise your air flight. Go and raise your support. Isn't that wonderful? It's more than 25 years since. Almost 30 years since I left my home church. I can honestly tell you, God is so good. He says, "Seek first the kingdom of God. Everything you need in this life will be added unto you." Hallelujah. The only thing I don't understand in my household is the three females. When they open the wardrobe, they look at 99 dresses and they look at me, I have nothing to wear.
got nothing to wear. 99 dresses. Just pick one and let's go to church. Hallelujah. Praise God.
When you don't appeal for support and people give, I call that the favor of God. Just a few weeks ago, 80-year-old lady requested to want my address. I said, what for? What do you want my address? Cut a long story short, she sent me a check, an offering, a generous check. I said, well, my goodness. It's very difficult for me to receive this kind of offering. So I went to pay her a visit, say thank you. You know, she's all by herself. 80 plus. She says, I want to bless you because you go to poor countries. I said, no, please. Don't give me any more offering, please. I don't know, maybe I'm the first pastor that told her, don't give any more offering. That money is so difficult, you know. Use the money for yourself, please. Go buy food, buy clothing, whatever you want. Keep it for yourself. Don't send me offering, please. I didn't ask her. I never appeal and show pitiful children suffering and say, can you please give me? Don't give, they will die. I didn't do that. Of her own accord, sacrificially giving generously. What do I call that? I call that the favor of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what we're talking about. Hallelujah. The Lord God is the sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor upon His children who choose to walk uprightly before Him. Of course, the first step to the favor of God. If you are here on this Good Friday and if you don't know Jesus, the first step is for you to repent of your sin, confess your sin to Him and say, I believe in you, Jesus. I receive you as my personal Savior. That's the first step towards walking under the favor of God. For Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, he says, as God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For He says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. And in the day of salvation, I help you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the time of salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. If you are seated here, you don't know Jesus, the first step to receive the favor of God is to receive His forgiveness and His blessing of eternal life. Then you walk towards the favor of God. Let this be the beginning for you. If you don't know Jesus, hallelujah, that the favor of God be upon your life, be upon your family, be upon your career, be upon your business, be upon the church. Good Friday is the beginning of good favor from the Lord. Amen. So I want to encourage you this day as we, you know, think of the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. God desires to favor you. Some people find it hard to believe, but it is the Word of God. We must believe the Word of God. Amen. He desires to favor you. Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to come and to comfort those who mourn. Hallelujah. Isaiah prophesied that now is the time of God's favor for your life, for my life. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, we read of people that enjoyed the favor of God. For example, Noah. Noah in Genesis chapter 6 verse 8, the Bible tells us, Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis chapter 6 verse 8. But Noah found favor. Why the word but? It's good when you read the Bible to ask questions. How come but? Thank God for the word but. Hallelujah. Why? We read in the preceding verses of Genesis chapter 6 verse 5. The Lord saw the great wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. And verse 6 says, the Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. That's how sad God was when he saw the wickedness of mankind. He regretted. Have you regretted our actions in your life? I'm sure you have. I'm sure I have. You know, maybe you bought something, you regretted you spent the money. I shouldn't have spent that money. But in this case, God made mankind, and he saw that every inclination of the thoughts were evil. And he regretted that he made man, and his heart was deeply troubled. Then we read the next verse. But! Hallelujah! Thank God for the word, but! But Noah found favor with God. Because he was a just man. Hallelujah! Hebrews 11 verse 7, that he was justified before God by faith in the promised seed, and he was heir of the righteousness which is by favor. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Another person is Naphtali in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 23. And about Naphtali, he says, Naphtali is abounding with the favor of the Lord and is full of his blessing, and he will inherit southward to the lake. Isn't that wonderful? Would you like to be Naphtali? I would like to be Naphtali. He says he was abounding, oozing with the favor of God. The blessings of the Lord was upon his life. Another person in the Old Testament was Samuel. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us. Samuel was, and 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 26, the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and grow in favor. Sounds familiar? Sounds familiar? Jesus grew in stature, grew in favor, grew in wisdom. Here it is in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 26. And the boy Samuel continued to grow in stature and in favor with God and with man. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us Eli's sons were scoundrels. They had no regard for the Lord. The sin of the young men were very great in the Lord's sight. They were treating the Lord's offering with contempt. Samuel was ministering before the Lord and grew in favor with God. Thank God for the word, but Samuel, hallelujah. Everywhere Samuel went, he was well accepted. That's the favor of God. He was well respected by people. That's the favor of God. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 19, the Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. Hallelujah. Another person in the Old Testament is Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 2. So the king asked me, why is your face so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. And I was very afraid. You know the context? And Nehemiah was the cupbearer. You know, as a cupbearer, you cannot go before the king with a long sour face. Alright? You got to be cheerful. You got to pull a long sour face. And the king saw him. Hey, what's the matter with you? Your face is so sad. It must be the sadness of the heart. What's the matter with you? Nehemiah says, I was afraid when the king said that to me. Verse 3, but I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors were buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Verse 4 of Nehemiah chapter 2. Then the king said to me, what is it that you want? The next sentence we read, Nehemiah said, then I prayed to the God of heaven. What did he pray? I don't know. Most likely he prayed a short prayer to the Lord. Oh God, give me your favor before this king. He asked me, what is it that I want? Hallelujah. What did he ask from the king? He says, verse 7, if it pleases the king, let me have letters from the governors of Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide me with safe conduct in all my travel until I arrive in Judah. Also, give me the letter to Asaph, keeper of the royal park, so that he will give me whatever timber I ask to make beams for the gates of the citadel of the temple and for the city wall and for the residence I will occupy. And because the gracious hand of my God was upon me, the king granted my request. Hallelujah. To put it in contemporary terms, the king asked Nehemiah, what do you want? And now Nehemiah prayed a quick prayer to the Lord. And he says, oh king, please give me all my visa in all my travels. Secondly, give me unlimited supply from Bunnings Warehouse. That whatever I ask, Bunnings Warehouse will give to me. I mean, if he were here today, that would be the answer. And the Bible says, the king gave him whatever he asked for. What do you call that? I call that favor. I don't call that coincidence. Hallelujah. In the New Testament, Jesus had the favor of God. We read earlier in our text, Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature, in favor with God and with man. Hallelujah. You know, brothers and sisters, as we celebrate Good Friday, and we, they call ourselves Christians and believers, I want you to know, God's favor is upon your life. And when God's favor is upon your life, bad things can turn to good. Did you realize that? Regarding Joseph, we all know the story. Genesis 39. Alright? Handsome young guy. Cougar. Mrs. Potiphar saw a handsome young guy. Come to my room. I'd like to have a hot time with you. Let's have some sex. He refused her sexual advances. He struggled. And she accused him of rape. Put in prison for something he did not do. Even then, in the midst of the dark prison, Genesis 39 verse 21, the Lord was with him. The Lord showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. Hallelujah. Thank God, even in the worst of times, when God's favor is upon your life, bad can turn to good. I hope you can believe that. In life, there will be problems. In life, there will be difficulties, bad circumstances. But through it all, He can turn the bad circumstances into good. Hallelujah. We know His story. From prisoner, He became the Prime Minister of Egypt. What do you call that? Coincidence? No! I call that the favor of God upon His life. The psalmist tells us, Psalms 30 verse 5, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor, God's favor, lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night. Rejoicing comes in the morning. For Joseph, he must have broken his heart that his own brothers can betray him. His heart must be broken to put in prison for accused of being a rapist. Weeping, I suppose he wept. You too will cry. I too will cry if I'm put in prison for something I did not do, languishing there. But thank God, weeping only lasts for the night, but joy comes in the morning. That's what Joseph. The morning came when he was crowned Prime Minister of Egypt. Hallelujah. I don't know about your life, brother, sister. You may have gone through seasons of weeping, but I want to tell you, if you keep faithful with the Lord, you keep faithful to His word, the favor of God will be upon your life, that He can so much turn your bad circumstances into good. You may weep for the night. The morning will bring you joy. Hallelujah. Case in point about bad circumstances turning to good. In the 80s, when I 90s, let me see. No, in the 80s, I bought my first marital home, you know, in Kuala Lumpur. My wife and I, you know, whatever money, little money that we have, we scraped together, put a down payment, took a loan, and, you know, bought our first marital home. The moment we bought it, there was economic crisis. Real estate went down. Our hearts went down too. Terrible. You buy a house, the price go down. At the time, we moved to Singapore. No time to sell because I've moved to Singapore to head up the mission agency as a director. So we rented out that place. Cut the long story short, over several years, the real estate went up and we managed to sell it and don't make any losses. Hallelujah. Bad circumstances turn to good. Then when we moved to Singapore, you know, my friend told me, out of goodness of his heart as a brother-in-law, he said, Pastor Lau, why you pay rental every month, you know? He says, in Singapore, real estate has never dropped. It's always going up, 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 up. Sounds like Superman. Up, up, anyway. All the way. Hallelujah. He says, why don't you just go and get a place yourself? I said, okay, thanks for your advice, you know. So my wife and I, we talk about it. So we look around. We got the cheapest one that we can get in the market. Cut the long story short, the moment we bought, 2 years later, ASEAN economic crisis hit whole of Asia. Property prices went down, 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 for the first time in the whole history of Singapore. I tell you, my wife and I, we wanted to cry, cry, cry. I mean, to lose 200,000 is a lot of money. It's our entire life saving. It became a standing joke with all my friends. When Brother Lau buy real estate, you sell. When he sell, you quickly buy. That was bad. Really bad for us. It's true. Singapore, you go and check it out. I'm not telling you stories. Singapore history, real estate has never dropped. Except in the 90s. That is after I bought. Terrible. We pray, oh God, why you allow this happen to us? All our life saving is gone, Jesus. We sing that song, God is so good. What's so good about this? There's nothing good about this, oh God. Have mercy, oh God. Please have mercy, Lord. We cannot go through life like this, one after another. Please help us, Lord. We waited, waited. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. That became good. Real estate began to soar. You know, from 400,000, it went up to purchase price. Hallelujah. When it reached purchase price, I tell you, we were walking on the clouds. Hallelujah. Praise God. And pray, oh God, you know, let it go higher so that again, when we sell, we'll make a profit. And it did. We sold. You know, after 17 years of prayer and waiting, and we made some money. Hallelujah. We brought the money to Australia to help the Australian economy. That's the favor of God. Amen. We could have been busted if the real estate don't move. Just keep on going down. I tell you, you would cry too if you were me. Your entire life savings is gone down the drain because of, you know, ASEAN economy. Crisis. What do I call that? I call the favor of God. Hallelujah. Another real case in point. I served in a mission agency for 17 years. I sit on various boards. I was chairman of this board, director of this board. I sit probably in maybe 10, 15 boards. Over time, I think you're sitting on too many boards. You know, top executive told me, I think you better come out of some of the boards. I say, okay. That don't sound very right. Cut the long story short, you know. I knew I've done my job in the agency. It's time to go. You know, when the top bosses tell you, that's bad, bad news, you know. I can be very upset. Hey, I gave my life 17 years to build, to help you build. And now you think my services are not needed? I can go up, come off this board, come on the board. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? I said, nah, I'm not interested. Cut the long story short. I move on and pioneered advanced leadership to train poor leaders in the poor countries of Asia. Hallelujah. Bad turned out to be fantastically good. Because you know why? I'm not the kind of person to jump from one church to another. Or, you know, serve in one place, I don't like it, I go. If I say, God has called me, I come, I stay, come wind, come storm, come snow, come misunderstanding, I will stay right through, even to tears and sorrow. I will stay right through. I stayed for 17 years. 17 years, you make a lot of good friends. You don't simply pick up and just resign and go somewhere else. You know, it will take a bulldozer to bulldoze me out. But God, in His sovereignty, He is preparing me to do something good. Because if all these events don't take place, I will never move. I'll just keep on staying there. God gave me 4-5 dreams. I'm not the kind that dream dreams. If at all I dream dreams, it's because I had a good steak last night. And I dream all kinds of funny dreams. But dreams from the Lord, they don't come in every day. But when they come, you know, consecutively, 5 different dreams, 1 message, it's time for you to move on. God must be saying something, isn't it? Hallelujah. Cut the long story short, the band became so, so good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me close with this last point, and then we'll continue in the camp. All right? When God's favor is upon you, those around you will be blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not only was Joseph blessed, his family was blessed. Not only was his family blessed, the Egyptians were blessed. Not only the Egyptians were blessed, the surrounding nations were blessed because of Joseph. Because there's no one like him. They say, he was such a good administrator. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When God's favor was upon Samuel, the Israelites were blessed. Righteousness came back to the nation. He was a good shepherd. He prayed for them. The Lord granted them victory after victory from all their surrounding enemies. Hallelujah. They were blessed. When God's favor was upon Noah, his children were blessed. Their spouses were blessed. Hallelujah. When God's favor was upon Nehemiah, the Israelites were blessed. The walls were rebuilt in a short span of time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When God's favor was upon my life, you know, when God knew I have a heart for poor pastors in India, Sri Lanka, Myanmar, China, Vietnam, Cambodia, you know, His favor was upon me. He supplied what was needed. I go there and help them, train them, supply what was needed. They are so poor. They can't even pay their own bus fare. I have to pay their bus fare. You know, in Australia, you're a good speaker. They pay $400, one ticket to come to a conference to listen to that good speaker. I'm a terrible speaker. I pay people to come and listen to me. Isn't it pathetic? I pay for their bus fare to come and listen to me. Isn't that terrible? They're so poor. I'm very thankful for friends and churches that partner with me. Like the old widow, 80 plus. I don't want her offering. I said, please keep it for yourself. But I said, it's because you go to these places. I want to bless you so that they can be blessed. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. They are so poor. They can't give me $1 for preaching honorarium. In Australia, you preach in mega churches, you get a mega offering. These places I go to, they don't give me 1 cent. That's a good test of the calling of God upon my life. Am I in it for the money? Or am I in it because I love the people? That's a good test for me. To be tested almost 40 years. I think it's pretty good. Amen. I'm not trying to boast of myself, but I boast of the grace of God in my life. I could have turned out like some of my friends who backslided and caused shame to the name of Jesus through all kinds of financial, sexual scandal in the ministry. But I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful for the favor of God and the grace of God upon my life. That He blessed me. Those around me get blessed. Likewise, for you on this Good Friday. I want to encourage you. Good Friday is good because of Jesus. Let's stand to our feet as we close in prayer. Let's get the musicians and let's sing a song. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.